to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, ZIP 6.
Hello, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 182. Today's date, January 16th, 2007. I think that's right, right?
Yep.
Okay, sounds good to me. I'm Black Ratchet, and with us this evening is Savant, again.
How you doing, everybody?
You seem to be one of the more popular people I get on the show.
More popular? Like, more death threats, or what?
Well, that too, I mean, you know. I get the phone calls afterwards saying, can't believe you got that loser on again. But you seem to be on...
give me his address.
You seem to be on rather regularly, at least like, as far as I remember.
Yeah. Nowadays, it seems like it. So, hello out there in Radio Land.
Yeah. I'm going to, like, coax Savant into taking the show over because Stank doesn't want to do it anymore. Like, yeah, I could take it. It's all you.
Well, you could do that, but it would probably be like a biannual radio show. Because that seems to be about how much availability I have. And then I'd need to hire people to sit in as co-host to actually come up with content for me just to go, yeah, and then insert some smirky comment.
Well, that's what Binrev Radio is, you know, no content and all smirky comments.
You could probably replace me with, like, a 40-line Perl script through some text-to-speech or something. I mean, it's not all that different from episode to episode.
Well, we did actually almost replace you with a 40-line Perl script because we're actually taping this... probably about an hour before it stream, about an hour and a half, actually, right now, it's 8 p.m., hour and a half before we stream, because someone forgot their telephone underneath their car seat last night.
I didn't forget it under there, I lost it under there. It's not like, I should keep this here for safety.
I don't know, whoever knows where the people put their damn cell phone. How the hell did you drop it underneath your car seat and not realize it was there?
Well, I didn't think about the piece I was getting. You know, if I'd stop to think, man, it's quiet, then I would have realized that my phone isn't in my pocket. And, you know, we had the day off yesterday for NLK, God bless him, and I was doing other happier things than communicating.
Did you actually have the day off yesterday?
Yeah, I did, fortunately. My employer is not African-American himself, but his family is, so... It was important to him and them to get the day off, so I benefited.
Oh, okay, because there was some debate about whether or not you'd have the day off. And actually, if I knew that, we probably could have tried recording earlier. We might have avoided all of this, but...
Yeah, I mean, I gotta imagine I probably lost my phone somewhere around noon.
Oh, well. Oh, it's been 3 p.m. over here. Who knows? Who knows?
In short, I'm an idiot.
Well, you're always an idiot, so...
Clearly.
Yeah. Anyway, we actually have housekeeping this week. I have a question to pose to the audience, and you can either email maybe not email the show, but contact me somehow, blackratchet@blackratchet.org, or, you know, blackratchet on AIM, or, you know, some one of the many other ways of people being able to contact me. I'm curious as to whether or not the audio levels on the show are okay, and whether or not there's any other issues people have been having, because Stank Dog has been telling me that people have been bringing things up to him regarding the audio of the show, and I try to take pride in this, so I try to take pride in my work, and I haven't heard a damn thing, so I'm curious as to what troubles people are having, and if they could contact me, I'd be very much obliged, and I could try to get that worked out. Actually, I believe one of the problems was I actually probably rushed right through the editing portion. I actually accidentally left it in stereo as opposed to mono, and that sounds like crap, especially on, like, 24 kilobits per second.
I thought I had mono once for an entire year. It turns out I was just really bored.
He was emo like that. He was like, oh, I can't stand life.
That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off for you. If you haven't seen that movie yet, kill yourself.
I wouldn't go that far. Just run out to Netflix or whatever and grab it real fast. And if you can't, then kill yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Black Rage. Norman Rev Radio does condone suicide, so don't do that, kids.
Because if you do, we're just going to post a blog about it and mock you.
Oh, what is it? What's the website? MyDeathSpace.com or something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yep.
That shit's creepy, man. For those of you who haven't...
For those of you...
You can explain it.
All right, well, for those of you who haven't heard of My Death Space, it's a blog that goes over all the more well-known people who had MySpace profiles before they offed themselves or before they were killed one way or another, and post links to it and to their profile and to their news stories pertinent to their tragedy, and it's become something of a hot mock site on the internet.
Yeah, it's like a train wreck. You can't stand watching it, but you can't look away. And actually, there's a few people on there who were killed in train wrecks. So they
see how you tie it all together.
Yeah,
that's why you're hosting the show.
It all comes true in the end. It's an amazing round circle that we have. All right, maybe that'll be our site of the week. Isn't mydeathspace.com, because that's what everyone calls it, but I think the link's actually different. We'll have to check that out before we do it.
I think you can go straight up to mydeathspace.com.
Oh, who knows?
I'm checking it right now.
All right, you can go do that.
Yeah, it looks good.
All right.
Yep, mydeathspace.com.
There we go. So if your people are getting bored during the mailbag, because this is actually a mailbag episode, we got like 6 messages last week at least, and like there were some killer ones. But, actually, and the one talking about the SDA, your favorite phone.
Yeah.
Someone.
It's not a bad phone. It's just, it's lacking a lot of things that make it great. But we can get into that later if you want.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Shall we head into the email?
Let's do it.
Thank you, Arnold. Or Rocky, or whatever your name is.
Benrev.com. Do it. Open the trunk. Do it. It's from Starsky and Hutch.
Oh.
The remake.
I have no idea. I've never seen that show. Who knows? Our first email tonight is from Pseudo Idol. And greetings to whoever is hosting the show this week, which I got to say is a very interesting way of introducing your email. It definitely covers all the problems we've had. Last week, Stank Dog was talking about his problems with the Harmony 880. I had purchased the remote for my father for Christmas because he did not enjoy watching TV on our entertainment center. We had a total of 5 remotes sitting around. I first heard of the remote on one of the shows on DDP Hack Radio in early December. One of the selling points of this remote is that it saves electricity and reduces heat around your entertainment center by turning off unused devices. He mentioned yours did not turn off devices when switching activities. I do not know if it's a defective remote or if a stank just didn't spend enough time looking through the options and setting things up correctly. It took me about a half an hour of fooling around with it until I got all the options to how I wanted them for my dad, big fonts and all. I like the remote so much that I plan on getting one for myself in the near future. Keep up the good work on the show, Pseudo Idol. So do you have like this, John? You just have the Xbox, don't you? You don't have like any type of killer entertainment center.
Well, I just last week managed to score a 52-inch screen TV through a trade with my neighbor, who all he wanted for it was $50 and a 6-pack. I was like, deal. And then he's like, wait a minute, why don't you just mod my Xbox and we'll call it a trade? Like, okay. You sure? Yeah.
Are you sure? Right, are you sure that like TV like didn't, you know, find its way to your neighbors through, you know, a box on the side of the road that might have been accidentally left there by a person who he bribed?
It may have fallen off the truck.
Yeah, homeboy shopping network.
You know, it wasn't a bad deal. He couldn't get the channels to change anymore, even after auto programming it. So it only worked on channel 3. But like you said, I really only use it for Xbox. So it's like, yeah, whatever. And then I'm like, well, why don't I just put a VCR in between the cable and the TV and then run the cable through the VCR and use my remote on the VCR and bada bing, bada boom, big-ass TV.
You suck. I want people to like, didn't you like, you know, get a power book for something? You always like say, oh, yeah, I'm doing this for one of my friends and he's giving me like a power book. I'm like, what the hell? I need friends like yours.
like wasteful wealthy friends.
Yeah, I know. Shit, man. My friends are poor.
No, the power book deal is because my friend's eye patch wanted me to, first of all, wanted me to fix Dotanoi, which I'd been working on for a while and just let deprecate. But mostly he wanted me to switch over to the Mac side. And I told him for years, like, you know, I'm interested, it's kind of cool, but I'm not going to drop $2,000 on a laptop just to find out I don't really give a crap. And not while my $500 Compaq works just fine. And so he finally got a MacBook and was like, here you go, just use it. I don't want to hear anything else. Just use the damn Mac. You'll thank me later.
And have you started using it yet?
I haven't gotten it yet. I actually told him I would pay him shipping to send it out to me today, but he wants to hand it over and show me some things, and he's got to clean it off and all this other crap. So for now, I'm still using my semi-broken Presario.
Well, hell, I'll pay him shipping if he ships it out to me. We'll get into a bidding war. We'll be like eBay.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to Pseudo-Idol's email, as you can tell
back on the topic.
Yeah, as you can really tell, we don't really have much to say because neither I nor Savant own one. But I'll be sure to forward this to Stank, and actually he's probably listening soon, if not right now, and get his response on it. Perhaps he can write us. Hint, hint, Stank. Because he always listens to the damn radio show. Loser. Yeah, I just called you a loser. Actually, I don't know. I just really can't stand remote controls without actual buttons on them. Just completely freaks me out. No tactile feel.
So what was he saying? That you could actually turn off ambient devices with this? Like it had a timeout and it just sends the off code?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, Stank reviewed this a couple episodes ago. And it was pretty neat. It would shut off certain things you'd know on power. You could just have a button that says, play a DVD in the machine, and you'll pop the DVD in, you press the button, and it takes care of everything and starts playing on the... And you have like 15 bazillion different audio devices. Yeah. I mean, I gotta admit, like, when I had a giant entertainment center through one of my roommates at college, because he spent money like a drunken sailor, my mommy and daddy are rich. I'm going to spend all this stuff on from the money they sent for rent and then ask for rent later in this month. Damn you, Simon. Damn you.
Life's hard, man.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I was like, you know, you have to like press like 15 different buttons. You have the Xbox going, and then you want to press another 15 buttons to switch over to play the PS2. Another 10 buttons to get over to the cable. It was crazy. I will admit, it does have a certain appeal to it.
Well, it sounds like you could also use that for a lot of fun, like putting in your pocket and walking through Sears or something and just have it spazzed out and just cycle through and just kind of like TV Be Gone, but just turn off every single device in the electronics department. That could be fun.
Or even better, like try to flip it to a different channel and just have all like point at everything and just have it cycle through like, you know, channel 03 or like 60. Flip everything to 69. Yeah, because nothing rents at 69.
Right.
Look at snow.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems interesting enough. I only think it can support X amount of devices, though, if I remember correctly. I think it's Snake said that, but who knows. Our next email is from X of 7. In episode 179, the co-host, sorry, I don't remember your name, I was working at the moment, mentioned that the NSA was giving away scholarships for InfoSec careers. I am graduating high school this year and would love to have free college money in assisting me in getting an information security degree. Thanks, X of 7. And actually, I remember talking about it, but I don't think he gave any links out. So, being the adventurous person that I was, I actually went out and did some research for you people, for those of you who want to get into InfoSec. I Googled NSA scholarships, and that was the extent of my research, and I found some stuff. And, yeah, actually, the link that we...
Internet detective.
Yeah, I was like, Google. I'm like, yeah, I'm an internet detective. The website I found was on NSA.gov, so just you know, fair warning if you're going to visit the tiny URL. tinyurl.com/248FoxtrotKilowattXray. I'm sorry. I really bumble-pooed that one. 248FoxtrotKilowattVictor. I better, like, send everyone accidentally to GoatC or something. You're like, no! My eyes!
Some sort of midget porn convention or something.
Yeah. I should actually fire that up. Not the midget porn, just find out what actually that link went to. I'm not condoning midget porn.
Right.
But anyway, I was actually looking through when I was Googling all this stuff, actually, it's a not invalid tiny URL, thank God. I was looking through a couple of things, and I actually found one on a high school website in somewhere in Washington, and I think it was actually, I don't know, it could have been Washington, D.C., but the way it was phrased, it sounded like a Washington State high school, and they were talking about the Stokes Education Scholarship. And I was reading, like, work at the NSA for 12 months during the summer, and we'll pay your college, and we'll give you a career afterwards for your separate field, and we'll say, like, computer science, computer engineering, mathematics, I think, like, physics, too, or something. It was, like, some crazy stuff. But check this out. The requirements are just, to apply, you must be this is directly from the website. To apply, you must be a U.S. citizen, be a high school senior, have an SAT score of at least 1,600 or an ACT of 25 and at least a 3.0 GPA, and demonstrate leadership abilities. Holy crap. Do you think they're setting standards?
Of your blood, urine, and stool.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no. They don't do that. They take a DNA sample from the pit of your stomach, and they have to get, like, that 5-inch needle out there to break in where the DNA is the freshest or something.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
Or, like, wear an implantable RFID.
They just inject when they're taking the DNA out, that's when they squirt in. They squirt in some, like, nanotubes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, miniature. Yeah. Isn't, like, 1,600, like, the highest you can go on an SAT?
I'm going to prove my ignorance here, but I think so, or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So that's pretty high.
Oh, like crazy.
Oh, damn it, there is a nanotubes.com. All right.
Aw, Savant is domain squatting empire is getting shorter by the moment.
Seriously. It's just everything, it's just startubes.com, just asterisk tubes. Ooh, asterisk tubes. All right, well, I'm going to let the first eager beaver out there to swipe up asterisktubes.com by it, because I've got too many domains that I'm sitting on.
Yeah. Actually, did you hear, I don't know where I saw this program, but there's a program out there, and it's for secure file transfer, and they call it Tubes.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I don't know where I think I just saw it today, actually. And I was like, oh, yes, that is the coolest thing ever. And I'm sure it was pretty lame, but... Whatever. It's the name is all that. It's all about marketing.
File sharing via tubes.
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to apply for the NSA, you need to have, like, a brain the size of Michigan, just so everyone knows. Of course, I kind of expected the standards to be quite high, because, hey, it is the National Security Agency, but I was not expecting to be a 1,600 SAT. That's just crazy.
Right. Well, you got to figure, if you have those requirements for 1,600 SAT, et cetera, there's probably better scholarships out there, too.
Yeah. I don't know. The scholarship sounded pretty good. It sounded like it was just a free ride. It was just you had to work for the NSA for a bit. Yeah, I mean, it was basically you'd go to school, you'd come and work for the NSA during the summer. I'm not sure if they paid you anything or if they gave you room and board, but I don't know. If I guess if you're a hardcore computer geek, you just sort of sit there and sit on the terminal all day. And just smell funky.
And chase the carrots?
Of course, they're all... Yeah. They're all fed, so you never know if that actually flies over there. But, wow. Actually, I wonder what the maximum ACT score is. Actually, when I first saw that, I really did think it was a typo, because it was like a 3.0 GPA. That's like a B, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're on, like, a 3.0 scale, but otherwise than that, you'd have to be, like, a super genius. But I guess that's what the NSA wants. Our next email is from John. John has a mystery. Hello there. Wonder if your knowledge would shed light upon the following mystery. Ooh. My friend's CDMA phone went missing in the presence of a guy, and ever since he has known all her conversations, including false data we planted there. Also, each time we turn on our phone, the guy checks his phone display, which probably means a text message shows him that the phone is on. Is this a cell-to-cell wiretap? Please enlighten us. Thanks, John.
Hmm.
Wow. Have you ever heard of this?
No. I'd love to know more info, like what kind of phone it was, first and foremost.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. I think he actually emailed Stank, and Stank forwarded this to me. I have to check that out and actually bother him with some questions. I did some research on this, and I think there's a way to actually, you know, tap a cell phone. It sounds more to me like this is actually kind of a clone.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, cloning Okies, yeah. Cloning is when you make an identical copy of the you have a target cell phone. You make an identical copy of it, either by, you know, sealing it for, you know, X amount of time and copying all the information off of it. But it essentially it's an identical copy of the cell phone that you're targeting. And when you set it up on the network, the network can't tell the difference between the traffic sent to the original cell phone and the traffic to the copied cell phone. So essentially, each cell phone receives the same amount of data. I really don't know much in the way of specifics. Like, for example, I would assume both phones ring, but I assume that, you know, if a conversation's going on of, you know, cell phone A and cell phone B picks up, I don't think they actually, you know, gets the same data, and you can listen to the person's cell phone conversation. But I would assume stuff like texts and incoming phone calls, I bet both phones would ring.
Well, and there's also the possibility that the person in question may have hacked into the girl's billing, like, you know, go on their T-Mobile account on the web or something and just view all the calls made. I mean, they don't specify which conversation data they have, or if it's, like, fake phone numbers inserted into the phone or something.
There's really not much of the way in specifics of this email. But when he was talking about how the every time they would turn the phone on, the guy would get a text message. I'm curious as to whether or not he wouldn't get a text message, but he would get some type of notification saying, "Oh my God, the phone's back on."
Right.
Or I sense the phone that I've been cloned from. It's like a million voices screaming out in anguish, and then suddenly extinguished.
Suddenly silence. Yep.
Yeah, something like that. I haven't seen that movie in forever. I should actually sit down and watch that.
Yeah, no excuses, Ratchet.
Yeah. But it's interesting that when I was starting to look at this, because apparently cloning is actually coming back.
Is it?
Like, this was a big thing back in, I don't know, when cell phones really started coming out, like the first Motorola bag phones, because essentially what you would have is you'd have, every phone would have a ESN, electronic serial number, and then something called an MIN, a mobile identification number. If I remember correctly, the MIN used to be your actual cell phone number. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yes,
am I right? Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
ESN used to be, you know, to your phone. Every phone would have a different ESN, and technically you could reprogram your phone in certain situations to actually share an MIN with some other phone. But what you used to be able to do to impersonate any cell phone, you used to be able to copy the ESN and copy the MIN, and the cell phone network wouldn't be able to tell the difference. This was big back on, I don't remember the acronym, but it's AMPS. Mobile phone service, if I remember correctly. And this used to be huge, but as we started moving on to digital codecs, people started actually, to like 2G networks, this used to start fading out and started to become less and less common. But apparently CDMA is the new wave of cloning. People can clone CDMA phones no problem. And even GSM phones to a certain extent, just it's not as common, nor is it as easy.
Or also, like when Satomo Shimomura finger hacked his Oki in front of, what was it, Congress, and basically turned it into
yes.
radio and was able to snoop in on conversations in the area. Did they say anything along how that was supposed to work? I mean, God, it was ancient history by now, even though it's only been, what, 10 years?
What it used to be is, I mean, technically, all a cell phone is a phone with a transmitter and receiver on it. That's it. So when you put it into, I mean, but with digital digital codecs and CDMA and GSM, you can't just, you know, pull a conversation out of the air. But back when it used to be all analog, and even today with analog networks, there's ways of taking your phone and putting it into a service mode, and basically it just turns into a giant receiver. And from there, it's just as simple as, you know, you basically have a receiver that's tuned to cell phone frequencies, and there's ways of stepping through the frequencies and listening to the various channels, and you can be nosy on your neighbors and everything. And this still works on, like I said, analog networks. So if you go out to, you know, Boondocks USA, you'll be able to still listen to the network if they're just analog, which is... analog right now is the...
Aren't roaming networks analog, some of them?
Some roaming are.
But understand it.
Because basically...
No, go ahead. You know what?
Go ahead.
Well,
basically, analog networks are...
I'm done.
We're having sort of random back-off problems here. It's a bad Ethernet segment.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I just totally made that joke. anyway, but analog networks are the most efficient for distance. So if you really go out to backwoods areas or like... that was to point out with James Kim, he couldn't get a signal for his digital cell phone because digital cell phones are really weak and they depend on, you know, a clear digital signal. Analog can get through all kinds of static, and, I mean, you wouldn't be able to make a complete intelligible conversation out of that, but you can get bits of data through. It's just full of static. But, like, analog is actually still pretty common, and, I went up to northern New Hampshire to a cabin, and basically, you know, my cell phone didn't work. My wife's cell phone didn't work. We were both T-Mobile. My sister's cell phone, who went with us, sort of worked if she hanged off the porch on, like, you know, stood on top, so like kind of stood real high on the porch, and she can get one bar and kind of make out her voicemail. But I actually got curious, and I brought an old Motorola flip phone that still had some charge on it because I have the charger, so I charged it up before I left, and I flipped it open, and I pulled up the signal strength bar, and it, you know, gave me three bars, and I was like, yeah, way to go analog.
Nice.
Yeah, that was cool. And actually, that cell phone, I believe, when you turn it on, and you press, like, three different buttons while it's turning on, you can actually put it in the service mode, and you can turn it into a scanner for cell phone frequencies.
Yeah, which model is that? Is that for any phone, or for just the one that you had?
Oh, that's for any phone, but it's the Motorola flip phones, you know, the old kind of ones that if you look at them from the side are shaped like a trapezoid.
They're like StarTax?
They're not StarTax, they're kind of the ones before StarTax,
okay.
But they have the same flip to them. I'm sure when we actually post the notes, I can actually find an image of it, but I believe if you have an analog StarTax, you can actually put that into a service mode as well. But if you're in like a crowded, you know, say if you're in San Diego... you're really not going to find an analog network anyplace. Over those, like, any type of major metropolitan area is going to be all digital.
Right.
Or, like, 99.9% digital, and you might find, like, one tower someplace that someone forgot and it's still running.
Or in, like, the place... Well, no, I guess Alaska would be satellite. Never mind.
I mean, even Alaska, if you're going out to, like, Livengood. Livengood might have a cell site in there, and it could probably is analog, because... Analog, for all the shortcomings, is really reliable, and it takes a ton of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Wow.
Basically, it's all about experimentation, but you're going to likely find more analog signals in very rural areas.
And if anybody,
that word, I can never actually.
If anybody's in the thick of this new CDMA cloning stuff or just really has their head around how the specifics of this stuff works and can still show us any information, oh, man, that would make a great episode of the radio show. So yeah. Contact Black
Ratchet. That would make a good episode.
Yeah.
So contact Black Ratchet or contact the radio show at radioopenrev.com.
Or if you have any leaked O-Day docs that you don't want leaked but just kind of want to show someone, savant@feartooth.com, send it my way.
Yeah, and Savant can show up to me if he deems him worthy. And we'll keep your identity secret. We're cool.
Yeah.
You can send them through a Hushmail account or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of cell phones, we actually have another email regarding cell phones, and it's from Polly Mira. And I'm not sure which one of the TDP guys go through many, many cell phones per year. Natus, maybe? But I'm looking to ditch Sprint, but I am only 8 months of the way through a two-year contract. I have two phones on the contract, one of which isn't even in use anymore. I dropped service for it, kept a family plan, but as to not renew the contract. I'm looking for a way to get out of Sprint contract, either with another carrier paying my fees or another way. Actually, there's actually, if you look for, like, you know, cell phone contract canceling and a couple other terms that we'll cover later, you'll find a text document written by somebody that we're not going to mention. And he actually did this, and apparently there is a city in Iowa, and it's called Royal, Iowa, 51357 is the zip code, This particular city does not have any cell phone coverage of the six major cell phone carriers. Apparently, this person has called Singular and wanted to get out of his contract, and I don't know why exactly it was. Maybe he was just really bored. Told them that, I'm moving to Royal Iowa, and I really want to make sure that I have service in that area. And, do you still have service? And sure enough, they didn't. So he said, I'm being forced to move there. My work's sending me over there, and I really don't have much of a choice. And he was, absolutely shocked that he was going to get charged a termination fee. And sure enough, the rep sort of let it slide and terminated his account for free. But, of course, this is probably fraud, and Ben Riv would never actually support such actions.
Oh, no.
No, of course not. I gotta say, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what other.
I'm pretty much inclined to believe that if you bitch enough on the line with someone, I think Spank mentioned a couple episodes ago that he never ever had to pay a late fee or never had to pay a service cancellation fee. If you're tenacious enough and just bark your way up the line, then I'm sure you could probably talk your way out of it if you didn't even want to be deceitful. I mean, if you yell loud enough, someone's gonna jump.
Cell phone companies are bastards. You probably have to have some type of good excuse as to why you want a contract and why you want to cancel your contract and whether or not you're moving to Royal Iowa or some other completely backward. Actually, I'm curious if Royal Iowa has analog service through some other carrier. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we could look at that. Maybe there's where we can do our sniffing.
Yeah, or sniffing, or at least sniffing. But, of course, we wouldn't do sniffing because cell phone sniffing is illegal, I believe.
Yeah, naturally. Is it illegal to sniff your own cell phone conversation?
Who knows? But the problem is that unless you have an analog cell phone that doesn't have service, unless you have an analog cell phone that has service, you're not going to be able to make a phone call unless you want to call 911, and you're not going to be able to get service for a cell phone you may have because E911 and all that stuff, and cell phone companies are trying to say, unless you have a GPS in your phone, we're not going to give you service. Mm-hmm. So, you're screwed. Which always really ticks me off, because myself, Koresh, and the kid from Boston 20 Secondary, we were at the MIT Fleet, and we found these piles of old, Motorola flip phones, and we thought we were going to be cool, and it was $5 for $5, so we all, got one. And we were like, oh, man, I wonder if we can actually still get service from them. Because these were all, Bell Atlantic-branded phones. And we did some research into it, and Verizon would not give us service because they did not have GPS transmitters in them, which, needless to say, really ticked me off because I wanted to be cool and get my analog phone out and go, yeah, how you doing?
Hey, lady, check out my analog.
Yeah, get my Zach Morris phone.
You see that cars nowadays are coming out, more and more cars are coming standard with audio augmentation for Bluetooth for their car stereo systems so they can pair up to your car?
Yeah, actually, yeah, and I believe it's, is that on one of our emails, I think, covers that.
Oh, okay.
And actually provided a really interesting, which I actually never heard of before, but it's not our next one. Actually, I don't have a name on our next one, which I think the person signed a name, and my cat just attacked me. Hello. He just jumped from my computer table over to my. He's been crawling around my room ever since we started the show.
Because my dog is whimpering silently behind me now.
Now watch out! He might have to pee.
He might.
Yeah. Actually, no, she didn't sign her name, which is actually. Because she has a cool email address, so I'm actually kind of disappointed. But anyway, we'll try that again. Hello, Ben Rev Radio. I'm a new girl listener, and I love the show. The forum / chat are great, and I'm loving the mentor program. I also have a confession. When I first started listening to the show, I was constantly cursing Stank out because I would always have to adjust the volume in my car depending on who was talking. If it's Stank, turn the volume down. If it's a co-host, turn the volume up. Now every time I listen to a show that Stank isn't on, I miss the loudness and rants. Love the show and keep up the good work. And anonymous. I'm like, oh, wow, crap. It's a girl. It's a girl. Do we have to take showers now?
Do I have to put my pants on?
Yeah, apparently.
Damn it.
lesson we won is a BinRev sexual harassment lesson.
Right. Well, thank you for the kind words.
But, yeah, welcome and enjoy. And actually, I haven't seen her around the chat, but unless she actually uses a different name, but whatever.
Yeah, maybe she's hiding.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. With some of the people we have in there, I'm not surprised. let's see. Our next email is from Seth. And it's, hello from Oklahoma. Last show, number 181. You guys, Black Ratchet, Knot Theory, were talking about smartphones. I may have missed it, but you forgot to go over the T-Mobile SDA, a.k.a. HTC Tornado, and I think the iMate SP5. You mentioned a guy has one, but dislikes it. I, too, originally had the same experience, but over the past year I've grown to like it. The onboard Wi-Fi is useful because I am too cheap to spend the $75 a month on the wireless edge service, which is somewhat like a wireless broadband. But T-Mobile won't explain it too well. As for the overall functionality, there are many programs that have been developed for it, a lot of which you can find at www.surrealnetworks.com/MPX, Mike Papa X-Ray, which is accessible/formatted for your mobile. Of this site, it has apps for the MDA and the SDA. I'm not real sure about an MDA, never got to play with one, but the SDA, you can use a program called OMAP Clock, which is overclocking software. With the combination of OMAP and a program called Tornado Power Control, you can set the phone up only to overclock when the backlight is on. You can set the CPU safely to about 228 MHz, but I have overclocked it up to about 240 MHz or so with very little ill effects. An occasional reboot is required. Because it is a Windows Mobile 5 machine. At the same time, it runs a vast array of applications. But at the same time, the phone could crash like mentioned before. Some of my favorites programs is a Nintendo emulator, NES, an autoresponder for text messages, and a thing for reminding you of missed calls and other events. Those are just a few of many useful applications for the SDA. Another note is Bluetooth and an expendable memory via mini SD. I personally have a 2 gig card and have used about half of it, and I pretty much have every app loaded for the SDA. Side note on the Bluetooth. It will not send audio, anything other than a phone conversation, to a Bluetooth connection by default. A tiny program called BT Audio, located at the site mentioned, which is the Surreal Network site, allows you to stream audio from, say, Windows Media Player over a Bluetooth link. It is a little buggy, but it gets the job done. Previously, I owned a Motorola E398, which looks a lot like the Singular Rocker that came out about a year after I got the 398. It was a very good phone, and it had an expandable memory also, and an MP3 player. I used a very unreliable trans flash card, which I hated because I couldn't remove it. The Sliver also uses this flash, and I believe the V3i also uses it now. Motorola is the king of modding cell phones in my experience. The ROMs and FlexPak for it are made almost monthly, and you can change firmware like you change clothes. Very simple. My wife has a Razr, which I have flashed and flexed, and she loves it extremely. She has an original Razr with the Flex I put on it, and now she has a space limited, video recording along with other miscellaneous tools. On a side note, a cool accessories for a Bluetooth-enabled phone and your automobile is a new technology of Bluetooth-enabled CD players. I recently got one for $150 shipped out to me in Oklahoma. It is a Pile, P-Y-L-E, TLCD70MUBT. Let's try that again. Papa Lima Charlie Delta 70 Mike Uniform Bravo Tango. You can find it on Google. Not that great of a brand, but it gets the job done and has some cool features like Bluetooth, SD card slot, and USB support. It is well worth the price tag compared to the $300 for a Pioneer or Kenwood. This is how I listen to Ben Rev in my trunk. Woot!
Oh, wait.
Woot!
He streams it from his phone to his car? That's kind of cool.
No, he streams it. I believe he streams it from a CD player, unless he has it on SD card.
Oh,
who knows?
Okay,
I don't know.
I don't think I follow, but cool.
Yeah. Also, I want to try set up a meeting here in Central Oklahoma, but I am having a hard time finding people interested. The 2600 meetings are too far away from us in Norman, the University of Oklahoma's home, to make it by 5 p.m. Sometimes even by 6. And the tones are kind of, if you are a newcomer, you are somewhat unwelcome. Anywho, if you are in the area and interested, hit me up via MySpace. I am a friend on BinRay's MySpace page as Seth and Angie. Sorry for the novel of an email, but I wanted to throw out my two cents. Thanks for the read, Seth. And he also sent it a couple of links on an email afterwards saying that he forgot the links. So it's howardforums.com and planetmotox.net. And Planet Moto X is where you get all those flex packs.
Woo! Okay, Black Rat, take a breath, man. That was long.
Oh, man. No, seriously, I'm having my little water right now. It's not sweet iced tea, but...
Yeah, nice sweet iced tea. That's right.
Ah.
So,
good stuff.
Wow, this guy has a lot to talk about. That's stuff that I am pretty interested in. So I think I'm going to have to ping you, Seth.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
Well, you had the Razor, right, before you got the SDA?
Correct. It now currently rests peacefully at the bottom of the San Diego Harbor.
Yes, which is such a shame. So did you play with these flex packs?
Yeah, oh yeah, man. I mean, I loved the Razor specifically for how thin it was and for the hackability.
Could you explain? Because he never really explained what the flex packs do, and that's what I was curious about.
Sure. So essentially, now there's a flash pack and a flex pack, and they do two different things. One flashes the firmware in the BIOS itself, and one flashes the actual the software packages on the inside. So I think you could flash it without losing everything, but if you flexed it, then you'd have to restore all your data. So generally, if you're going to start playing around with the Motorola Razr and you're going to hack it, make a backup of everything. You can use Motorola phone tools and back up your phone book and all of your docs. As long as you have a copy of everything, and it wouldn't hurt to burn it to CD, then you can go nuts with it. Anytime you are flashing the firmware of a piece of hardware, you run the risk of bricking your item. So if it's your phone, it's not possible. I mean, it's possible. I've never had it happen to me, but you could end up with a really expensive, super small Motorola paperweight. And, you know, it was good fun. My problem with it at the time was, my screaming agony was that it ran the Java 1.0 API for Bluetooth on the phone, which meant that it could not communicate with the Bluetooth radio via third-party applications. And there's this software out there called Bluver, which some of you may have heard of, which essentially allows you to troll for potentially vulnerable phones that have Bluetooth exceptions in them that would allow you to blue snarf a phone. You could steal the contents of their phone book or their text messages or even overwrite entries in their phone book and do some other really nasty stuff. And I liked the idea of being able to do a Bluetooth attack from my phone. But, yeah, you know, came and went, whatever else. Although... the one thing that really sucked about the original Razr, at least, is that you couldn't tether it, and it wasn't edge-capable. So even if you could tether it, the speeds would be blazing slow. Blazing slow, that's kind of a contradiction.
I was actually curious as to whether or not it was tetherable.
I don't know much about the newer models, the V3i and on, so everything after that, it's possible that it might be, and your mileage may vary depending on your provider on top of that, but at least I know that the standard versions, it was not. And so that, coupled with the lack of edge, coupled with just, you know, lack of any real solid applications. For example, T-Mobile, and I'm not certain if this is the case with other providers, but they did something where they would block certain ports from your Java applications. So you had to do some hardcore hacking in the firmware to get it to allow you to use, like, Google Earth has a little application that you could run on your phone. So essentially what you had to do was...
That's just lame.
Yeah, you had to create a port forward inside of your phone that would redirect all traffic outbound for 8080 out to 8081 or something. But after you did that, then it worked no problem. But that said, I'm much happier with my SDA than I was with my Razr.
Okay, well, you were saying that the SDA is cool, but not as cool as it could possibly be?
Well, okay, I was looking at the MDA versus the SDA. And what drove me away from the MDA was its size. It's not like it's a giant brick of a phone. It's just not... After going from the Razr, you look at the MDA, and it's just like carrying around like a really friggin' giant wallet. Like, my dad's been carrying this 3-inch thick wallet in his pocket for the past 20-some years, and that's all I could think of. And if you want to wear, like, jeans or something, then it just seems like that would get in the way, and you'd walk like a duck with a heart on or something.
So that likes to wear really tight jeans. It makes them feel
special. Yeah! The lack of the QWERTY keyboard really, really, really bugs me. I thought it wouldn't be a big deal at first, but if you've ever tried to use SSH or any of those other really cool applications that a smartphone can run, T9 just doesn't cut it. So, I mean, I'm looking at other options now, like the blackjack or the Q or something along those lines. But, I mean, in the meantime, I'm going to ride the last few miles out of this one. One thing that kind of sucks about the SDA, and I'm sure the NDA is like it as well, is the fact that the SD card is underneath the battery. So you still have to pull the case out, turn the phone off, and hard swap a card, which wasn't very...
Not the MDA. No? The MDA has the flash card located at the top of the device.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, bitch. With your SDA. Your SDA sucks.
I have used the OMAP application that he's talking about to overclock the phone. One thing that I was kind of disappointed with is the overclocking is not persistent over reboot.
Over suspension.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fine if you're just... if you're suspending it, it's fine, but if you pull the battery out or power the device off and then back on, then it goes back to the default clock speed. But...
Oh, see, that's not what I heard. I actually heard that if you put it in suspend, it would not continue to be overclocked, which was like, well, that's useless for me. I'm not going to keep my phone on all the time. But with his the power manager, with the fact that you could actually tie it into the whether or not the backlight's on, that sounds pretty cool. I mean, like, I'm curious as to whether or not it actually works on my MDA.
Yeah, I should have looked a little bit further into that. If you're going to run Skype on the SDA, it is possible, but you do need to overclock it. And then there's this other third-party app that you have to install that allows you to control your phone from your computer. You put your phone on the wireless network, and then log in with this client software on your PC, and then that'll allow you to see your phone as if you were holding it in your hand. And then you have to use that to click the Skype sign-in button or something and then write a macro so that it does it automatically because the SDA does not have a touch screen. But if you're willing to jump through all those hoops, and it's a pretty cool little dig. I mean, I don't have any terrible things to say about it. My phone fell from about 4 feet, you know, like waist height, and split open on the side, so I'm kind of pissed about that. But, I mean, it's not bad.
I gotta say, my MDA did fall from the side of a desk and decided to land on the ground. It did land on a plastic mat, which was on top of a office carpet.
Okay, yeah.
It did seem to survive. And
I got tile floors.
Okay.
Yeah, so I break everything.
That might do it. Yeah, carpet's the way to go if you have, unless you really like static electricity, but we won't get into that.
Well, I've got a puppy, so tile floors are pretty handy.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yes, my cat decided to, apparently sometime during Christmas, decided to pee on the Christmas tree skirt.
Awesome.
And we found out about it when he took it down. I was like, oh, okay. But he was too damn cute, so we couldn't really get angry.
Well, at least it didn't, like, start to burn under the heat of the Christmas lights or something. I mean, you've got the smell of burning cat piss wafting through your place.
Oh, we didn't even smell it. I'm not going to get into a discussion about the cat piss. Our next email is from James. Found this on Apple's website. Thought you may enjoy it. It's on the first column, second paragraph down. Maybe the folks at Apple are big BinRev fans, and it's www.apple.com/AppleTV. It's all about the ITV and all that stuff. And what the line is that he says, the revolution will be televised. And, it's about BinRev. It's the revolution. We'll be digitized. No, sadly, it's not. We actually scooped it from a poem by Gil Scott Heron, whose poem is called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. And it's a comment on the political and social turmoil of the late 1960s/early 1970s America. Thank you, Wikipedia. In the discussion. Yes, and I believe the lyrics, and I believe a link to an MP3 of it, is tinyurl.com/24charlie9lima. I think that's a lima. It's not a 1. Hold on, let me check. Type a 1 right next to it. Yep, that's an L. Never really tell with some of these fonts. I should really put this in Consolas. So it's actually, if you've never listened to it, find a way to listen to it. It's a cool... The revolution will not be televised, and you can't do nothing about it. And if you want to get pumped and be, you know, all about the counterculture, that's for you. Have you ever actually heard that?
I've heard the phrase before. You see it on a lot of bumper stickers. I live in a particularly
it's
the part. I live in a little town well, I'm not going to say, but it's a little beach community throwback from the 70s that just never quite got over Vietnam or something. And so it's very, very, very trendy to hate all forms of government, regardless of their intention, et cetera, et cetera. I call them a bumper sticker culture because everyone's ideologies you can find on bumper stickers at the local, you know, gift shop. So if there's a lot of that, the revolution will not be televised and not my war and, you know, other generic crap that people think makes them sound smart by slapping on the back of their 84 Civic or something. But, I mean, I'm going to be honest, that's probably the extent to how familiar I was with that particular poem or whatever it was, but I was aware of it.
Yeah, I believe the Wikipedia says it's become cliched to the point of, I forget the word, it's been used in advertising to the point it's become cliched or something. Something along the line. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. Getting back to cell phones again, our next email is from embed.did. And I assume, I don't know, will you pronounce the dot? Who knows? Black Ratchet and fill-in co-host name here. I thought it was great how you guys did an episode of Bin Rev Radio the night before Apple's big smartphone announcement. The interweb has sure got its panties in a bunch over what is starting to look like a dumbed-down smartphone. As a fellow MDA owner, I kept on hearing about all these features and thinking, okay, my already phone already does that. And then they get into the part about their no third-party apps, and I about shit. They want me to pay about $500 to $600 for a phone that, and trust that Apple is going to provide all the applications that I may ever want for my phone to do? Right. Then Friday, I see an article on Slashdot where Jobs tells a Newsweek reporter, you don't want your phone to be an open platform, meaning anyone can write applications for it, potentially gum up the provider's network, says Jobs. You need it to work when you need it to work. Singular doesn't want you to take out their West Coast network. I'm sorry, I misquoted Steve. You need it to work when you need it to work. Singular doesn't want to see their West Coast network go down because some application messed up. Okay, so what about all the cool PPC apps I can run on my MDA? Am I gumming up T-Mobile because I want to watch Hack 5 and Xvid that Microsoft doesn't support? Actually, you recall it, Microsuck. Do you think Apple is going to sort anything that I can't buy off iTunes Store? Probably not. One thing for sure, this thing is going to ripe for the hacking. I assume that he's going to say, one thing is for sure, this thing is going to be ripe for hacking. They are also trying to keep the CPU under wraps. Jobs described it as part of the secret sauce in one interview. There is only so many embedded processors capable for the performance they need to make that thing work. Anyway, enough about that. I guess my favorite third-party Pocket PC app for the MDA isn't even really from a third party. It's Microsoft's Voice Command. It is sweet. Whenever someone complains about having to use the stylus dial, you push one button on the side and say, dial 1-8-8-5-5-5-1-2-1-2, and it shuts them up. Also, no more voice tagging. It just knows. Embed.did.
iPhone.
In Steve's defense, yeah, the iPhone. I like the iPhone. It's very pretty.
Every Mac geek that I know was text messaging me within 20 seconds of Steve Jobs going on stage having a hot sloppy orgasm over the fucking iPhone. And, I mean...
The iPhone, yeah!
Yeah. I'm going to politely shrug and reserve comment.
We'll see. I mean, if it's... Who knows? I am bummed. One thing's sure about the iPhone. They said, oh, it runs OS X. No, it doesn't. And they were like saying, oh, yeah, it runs OS X. OS X rocks because we were able to put it on a damn phone. Everyone's like, wow, it runs OS X. Wow. And then they said, then like 2 days later you find out, no, it doesn't run OS X. It runs something that looks like OS X. Like, what the hell?
Okay.
And then Apple lost a ton of points on the whole suing people for making lookalike skins for Windows Mobile 5 and all the other, you know, embedded cell phone operating systems out there to make it look like iPhones. Apple was like, no, you can't do that because we're lame.
Now, are they winning those cases, you know, or are they right somewhere?
Well, they basically send out cease and desist orders, and, you know, most people who get a cease and desist order, if you're in America, you're like, ah!
Just roll over and die.
I don't want to get sued by Apple's fiercest lawyers.
I mean, it is kind of ridiculous, but if you break it down, their key selling points, aside from the touchscreen, is the whole way the operating system looks and interacts, which, as you stated, can be done trivially with skins for WM5 or other existing phones. So So why am I spending that additional $200 to $300 on this handset for something that doesn't even run third-party apps?
Yeah, I will say I was pissed about no third-party apps. That was just like, wait, what's the point? I mean, that's exactly why I ditched the Sidekick and went to the MDA so I could run third-party applications. Although I will say, and in defense of Steve, like I'm calling him by his first name, Mr. Jobs, that everyone's kind of hanging him out to dry for this quote of, you know, Singular doesn't want you to take down their West Coast network. No, they don't. And quite frankly, cell phone providers don't want you to run third-party apps. They want you to run pre-approved apps that they control, and they charge you an arm and a leg to download. That's what cellular providers want you to do. They want you to run these little sandbox clients, and that's why I think that's probably why Apple, you know, was able to get this to Singular, and Singular was able to basically, you know, actually, I won't say anything. Singular was able to thank them in a certain ways. And because A, it was the iPhone, B, they know, like, you know, tons of Apple's literature actually going to have hot, wet, sloppy orgasm over it. And, you know, basically, there's a Singular store near work. I'm going to find out when it's going to be released, and I'm going to, like, show up early and just take photos and just see the line of people going out. Because I'm sure it's going to be insane. Like, I want to see all these long-haired, hippie Apple folks going, man, I can't wait for the iPhone, yeah. But yeah, I mean, Singular wants you to just be able to download like four or five applications they approved and they control, and they're probably going to be really buggy and suck. And even T-Mobile wants you to do that, because that's exactly what the Sidekick does. It only allows you to download applications that they approved and they developed. But
yeah, or get paid.
It's all about locking you into a certain. It's all about locking you into a certain thing.
And I mean, but okay, so let's say that there is a piece of software that, you know, a Britney Spears video or something that crashes the whole West Coast Singular network. What does that say about Singular's West Coast network? I mean, I see their point, but shouldn't the network be hardened against external attacks like that to begin with? Are they in some way admitting that there's a yet-to-be-discovered vulnerability that third-party applications could wreak havoc on? I'd be more interested to find out about that.
And I'm sure Singular's going, crap, 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 dispatch the hitman. We need to take
there's
up man out.
There's a black helicopter over my house right now.
Yeah, I know, the little black helicopters with a Singular logo on the side, zipping with little guys in the zip lines.
It'll be...
Actually, Singular's going away. Singular's not going to be Singular anymore. It's going to be AT&T.
Yeah, well, everything's going to be AT&T soon enough.
Yeah, the Death Star is coming. Get ready. I don't know. I am definitely taking a wait and see approach on it. The iPhone looks pretty interesting, and I will admit I don't know. Would they sell it in the Apple Store? Or will it just be through Singular? Will you be able to buy it through the website as long as you sign up
for
the contract?
Right, sort of 4-year life-ending contract.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely, like, you know, crazy, but I'm curious as to whether or not, because, like, the cool thing about the Apple Store is they have all the toys sitting out there, computers, that you can play with. And I'm curious as to whether or not they're going to have an iPhone there that I can touch and feel and play around with.
I would think that you're probably right about them having them on display at Singular, but there's probably going to be an armed guard next to it or something for the first little while.
Oh,
although, really, the best way to get an idea of how good a phone is to actually go out and play with the test model that they've got daisy-chained to the desk, because those are the ones that see all the abuse. Those are the ones that people try and drop kick and swing like a morning star and, you know, flash at people with. And if you want to find out how quality a phone is and where it's going to break, just look at those.
Oh, yeah, totally. And what always used to drive me nuts is, and I'd actually have to thank Verizon for actually going and starting to do this, if I remember correctly. For the longest time, like, When the second generation cell phone came out with the pretty screen and everything, they all of a sudden they started replacing all the display bottles with these like little plastic shells to show you how it looks. Yeah. Are you okay there?
See, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna get a fucking mock-up for the iPhone and like put a Bluetooth headphone in there and just have it connect to my SDA so that I can look so cool. Like I spent $600 on all my little iPhone and it'll just be running out of my back pocket.
Oh, that's totally brilliant. You should completely do that.
It'll make the Mac nerds drool.
There's some website out there where it's like iPhoneUnboxed.com. I believe it was in the topic. Like I put it in the topic for Pound Bin Rev a couple of days ago, and it's this guy, and he's basically he made a mock iPhone box, and he put a he put something from www.iphonecountdown.com, and basically what they do is you can print out this template and then fold it all up and put scotch tape around it and have it look exactly like an iPhone. And this guy took it and put it in a little mock box and made it look like he was having an iPhone and opened it all up and put this website up. And it's stupid. It really is. But at the same point, I'm sure he's getting millions of hits on it.
This little cardboard thing that's slightly thicker than his T-Mobile Sidekick. That's pretty funny.
I gotta say that he took the mock up and he was putting it next to his BlackBerry and he put it next to his, I think it was like a BlackBerry and MDA and something else, and it was rather small for like height size when you're looking. I don't know what's the term. Depth. Thank you. That's I just thank myself, but we don't get into that. But that, I mean, it looked pretty damn cool, I will say.
So, okay, of the people out here that own these devices, maybe you guys, anybody with a really expensive phone, does nobody else drop their phone? I mean, are you going to spend $600 on a handset and that's it? Are people chaining it to their navels? Or how do people, $600 is a lot of money, at least for me. I mean, maybe not for Stank, mm-hmm. who's getting spammed for $10,000 set-top boxes, but.
Actually, we got an email this week about the $10,000 set-top box. I was like, "Yeah, all right." I think they said they finally started making them or something. I was like, "Oh, congratulations!"
Yeah, we should try and hammer them. We should every time they spam, we should send out another one saying, "All right, give us one to review." If they're so damn insistent about it.
Well, I just find it humorous that they're putting like this $50,000 thing out there, and I'm sure when Apple releases iTV, they won't sell a damn
yep.
one of them. Apple won't sell. Apple will sell a ton.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get any emails about the Apple TV or the iTV or whatever the shit is called. How much does that cost anyway? iTV.
I have no clue.
Okay, yeah.
Not a lot. I think it's actually relatively cheap when, in the grand scheme of things.
Because I'm looking at it, and I'm not to harp on this whole Xbox thing, but there isn't anything that the iTV can do that the Xbox can't do. And the Xbox you can buy, you know, refurbed for $80 to $100. I mean, it's a little thicker mm-hmm. than this, but at least then you've got the ability to install those third-party applications. And I'm looking at this menu and all the pictures of their settings and things. Well, that's just an XML script away from Xbox getting it to look like that. I don't know. I'm not sold.
Actually, if you get the Xbox 360, you can write your own applications for it. And you can. There's actually some guy. I forget his name. Driving me nuts. It's like brainsandbrawn.com or something. I think the dashes are in between all the words. But he wrote. He basically wrote a clone of Apple's. What's it called? Front Row. And he called it Microsoft Back Row.
Back Row.
And it was basically to show off all of the cool stuff about the Windows Presentation Foundation and all the new wonderful stuff you can do with it, which is .NET 3.0, I think.
Oh, no, maybe
now.
I'm just cheap. Maybe that's the root of all my problems, is I just can't see spending this retarded amount of money on all this hardware that's, I mean, going to be first-gen and full of problems anyways.
Well, you're not a good consumer. You need to go to the reprogramming center and
okay.
get brainwashed.
I'll do that right after the show.
All right, sounds good. All right, and that sort of ends the email bag. And we're running kind of short this week, so whatever. You know.
How are we doing on time?
That's about it. We're actually doing pretty well. I mean, it's done. Considering that how many epic shows we've been having lately, this is actually a nice little. Difference. I'm actually going to have something that's kind of under schedule this time, which is
yeah. Take a little, take a couple minutes off for a hard day's work or something.
Yeah, go pop open a beer if you're over 21.
Yeah,
enjoy.
You should mention that. This marks the first episode of Bin Rev Radio that I've ever done that I was not drinking a lot of beer. I've been sticking to energy drinks. So if I'm a lot more responsive this time around, maybe that's why.
Well, I got to say, I considered having a beer for the show, but I decided that I only had two left, and I was like, no, I'm just going to
save them. You never know.
So. Yeah, well, because actually, these are the two bottles of beer that I have are beer you can't buy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You got to go down to like Maryland or the Mid-Atlantic states. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to save those. So, because now it's time to ration. Anyway.
So what about personal hacking stories? Do you have any?
I don't have any personal hacking stories.
I've been trying to think of any for the last... I mean, I know I've been doing a lot of stuff, but, I mean, at the end of the day, I realized that this is all shit that people have been doing for years. Like, I finally got around to learning some PHP, which I like a lot better than Perl, but maybe that's just because it lends itself so easily to web pages, or maybe because it's so proliferant. But I made myself stay up for, like, 48 hours with a whole lot of caffeine and a lot of help from you guys in the IRC forums, or the IRC channel, and have been writing shit left and right. I mean, nothing terribly useful, but it's kind of cool to me. Like, experiment.
I will say, I'm going to be interested in looking at your code and saying, my God, that stuff sucks.
You're looking forward to the letdown, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's... Whenever you're looking at, like, I mean, I remember looking at some of my Perl code from, probably about 4 years ago at this point, and going, oh, God, this thing's horrid.
Well, you're talking...
Like, all the stuff that I know now and compared to the stuff that I knew then was like, ew.
You're talking to someone who, for the last 3 years, used Bash as pretty much the bread and butter of my scripting and hacking daily goodness. So at least PHP's got some more built-in modularity and functions, and you can integrate it with SQL and all that other crap. But what I'm also finding out is that I have no HTML skills at all. Like, I'm basically writing an auto-dialer for asterisk, just as a proof of concept tool. A couple people have seen it. And the code, the back end works great. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily publish it as is, but it's coming along. But my God, do the forms look ugly. Like,
well, I think people complain. They always say, oh, I can't do HTML. Lots of people can do HTML. The problem is, lots of people can't make pretty websites, and the two are mutually exclusive. I mean, I can write good HTML. I can have it run through the W3C validator and have it pass with flying colors, but it'll look like crap. I run into the same problem that you do.
So, if anybody wants a project and is bored and wants to develop something pretty, like a nice pretty front end that you would ultimately like published in a book that I'm working on, contact me, SavantaFearTubes.com. I'd be happy to offload some of my work. let's see. Shit, anything before we go?
No, I think that's about it. What's our website? It's
mindjetspace.com. Oh, one thing. The forums seem to be pretty stable now in Knockwood.
I don't think I ever made that announcement. The forums are... I still think there's some slight issues, but I don't think anything that anyone, unless you're really looking really, really hard, would notice. Actually, I won't drop exactly what we did, but we took care of it, and there is currently continuity plans inside that hopefully that they will go away permanently. So,
well, and even the problems that still exist, they're minute. Like, it'll fail one connection attempt, but only because we have lowered, like, there were some processes that were hanging and were just creating slow deaths for the server, and so those... Mm-hmm. Those killer processes seem to have been squashed, although every now and then you might find out that if too many people are trying to hit a thread at the same time, then you might once in a great while get an SQL error or something. But I'd say it's come along quite far.
Yeah. It's definitely improved, and I think people have noticed that. But let's make the announcement anyway. Let's see, what's our closing music tonight? As I always forget to get the closing music. Our closing music tonight is the Final Fantasy Firecross remix by Lusa.
You want to do shouts real fast?
Lusa. Oh, yeah, you can do shouts. Yeah, I forgot to do shouts.
I'm going to give big shouts to Stank Dog just because he's been dedicating every freaking waking moment to squashing problems with the servers and basically giving up any sort of social life for favor of the however many unknown thousands of visitors that we get. So big up to Stank and all the work he's put in.
Oh, Stank doesn't have a social life. What are you kidding me?
Well, at least he's given up his opportunity.
Yeah, I'll definitely send a shout-out to that, because he, and you, for that matter, and everyone else who was helping on him, because people were working like a madman to fix these problems.
Yeah, Nick 84, Verbal jumped in and helped out. There's been, he rang the alarm, and a lot of people slid down the pole, so nobody here, at least I don't think anybody here is getting paid for our contributions, so it was really cool to see everybody just come together and get some sharp minds working on the problems.
BinRev Enterprises, Inc. I don't know. I'll send shout out to my cat.
He looks at me like I just showed him a card trick or something. All right, never mind. My dog. I tried to get him to bark. I know.
You're crazy. Email, radiobinrev.com. Area 1 for closing music tonight. So I guess, as always, we will see you next week. Same hack time.